This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng and joining me is Wong Xiaoning. And in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Aaron Connolly, research fellow at the International Institute for Strategic Studies, on how other Southeast Asian nations are handling the pandemic. But in the meantime, let's have a review of how the market did. Xiaoning.
Well, the US markets closed in the red, but very marginally. So the S&P and S&P 500 and the Dow Jones were down about negative 0.12 to 0.16%, while the Nasdaq had a slightly steeper fall, down 0.33%. Now, if we look at Asian markets, which are open, Japan is actually down 0.33%, Kospi is down 1.14%, and the Australian market is down 1.47%.
Looks like a negative day for as far as the markets that are open this morning. Now, let's talk about more on the markets. And this morning, we have Jeffrey Helly, Senior Market Analyst of Asia Pacific with Owanda. And Jeffrey, good morning to you. How are you this morning?
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for having me.
And good to have you. Now, after the U.S. Announced its $2 trillion stimulus package, Japan has also unveiled its $1 trillion stimulus package. Do you think this will do its job of jolting the Japanese economy?
Well, there's a couple of things to look at here. Although it is about $1 trillion on the face value, in keeping with most Japan stimulus packages, the headline number is not really the number that's available. The real number that's available is about $300 billion in money that we all understand, not yen. So it's not quite the shock and awe that the headline would suggest. A lot of that is being directed towards small businesses and towards companies as payroll subsidies, which I think is a good thing to keep people in jobs. But with the impending social lockdowns that are about to happen in Japan now, finally, and with the cancellation of the Olympic Games, Japan is facing quite a strong GDP shock, and the numbers being knocked around are something like about a 20% drop in GDP over the next quarter. So I think the package itself overall will calm markets and will soften the blow, but it isn't in itself a panacea to keep the economy growing.
Jeff, I think if you compare it to the U.S. stimulus as a ratio of the GDP, that's about 10%. And if you look at the Japanese GDP, that's just over 4 trillion. So the 300 billion doesn't seem that bad, Jeff.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, when you look at the headline number, I mean, a trillion, it was nearly 20-25% of GDP on face value. So you need to probably quarter that one, and actually the actual net stimulus available is around about 5% of GDP at the moment. So I think that the Japanese government's been very reluctant to bring in emergency measures and to shut down parts of the economy, and I think a lot of it's gone back towards the Olympics as well, not wanting to cancel them. So they're a bit late to the party here. So I would expect that the Japanese government will have to bring out some follow-on stimulus after this, because the net number available just isn't going to be enough to achieve what they need to do.
And Jeffrey, you look at it, the wider Asian markets, right? They somewhat seem to be doing a little bit better than the rest of the world. Now, what's your assessment of macro risk in this region?
Yeah, I think the two areas we definitely need to be looking at are India and Indonesia, simply because neither country has the financial resources to throw at COVID-19 like, say, Singapore or Malaysia. They have huge populations that are spread over massively wide distances. So I think we're still... There's a good chance that we've still got to see the worst to come from both of those regions. I think for the rest of Asia though, and or Asia Pacific, even if you include Australia and New Zealand, we're definitely seeing signs of progress across the region, and we're actually still seeing an interest in from an investment perspective in the region as well. Indonesia had a very good US dollar bond auction this week, so I think in summary, we've got some tough times ahead of us in Indonesia and India, but the rest of the region's doing okay.
And talking about Indonesia, their FX reserves are falling. The rupiah is also at a record low, and the Fed has offered them about a $60 billion loan facility. What do you make of this? Is this enough to put a kind of support under the Indonesian economy?
We are seeing the rupiah rally a bit over the last few days or so, along with a lot of other EM currencies, helped no doubt by rising stocks and rising oil prices. The dollar swap line is really to alleviate the dollar shortage around the world, because so many companies around the world have US dollar denominated debt that the Fed has been offering these swap lines all over the world, and Indonesia is one of them. But I think actually there is still some positive signs in Indonesia. They had a very good bond auction, US dollar bond auction earlier this week, where they actually managed to get away 30-year and 50-year tenors in US dollar bonds, a few billion of each, and at lower yields than they thought they were going to have to pay, which sort of implies that there is confidence in the longer term in the Indonesian economy, even after we get past this COVID-19.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Jeffrey Helly, Senior Market Analyst with Owanda Asia Pacific. And interesting that Jeffrey is watching closely Indonesia and India, some of the two biggest economies in this part of the world. And interesting that he highlights that the bond issue by the Indonesian government is getting some positive response.
Well, with interest rates exceptionally high in Indonesia, it would be right, because there's some positive carry, although you have to worry about currency devaluation. But you can always find a derivative once again to kind of keep your profits in check.
All right, so we'll be talking more about Indonesia after this break. Stay tuned. Keep it here on Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.